afternoon, everybody. Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop on a special Cubs edition of Vegas Nonstop, because all of our Cub fans are here in studio, buddy. Rocking it out.
Yes.
Still continuing the celebration. Got Rob Sherwood, Adrian Zemed, Jeffrey with a G, Chicago Joe.
Hello.
Calling in is going to be Mike Bryant. Calling in is going to be Joe Montaigne. Calling in is going to be Jeff Santos, son of Ron Santos. So it's going to be an interesting Cubs thing. So let's start the poll with Jeffrey with a G. Let's do a little bit of recap before we get into Cubs, 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 and Cubs.
You, my friend, are on a roll. You are on a roll. You cast your second ticket consecutive weeks. Was that a six-teamer that you hit?
It was a six-teamer yesterday, yeah.
You're getting good, buddy.
Well, I play the ties win, which is you know, a different kind of a parlay card.
I think the Jets helped you with that, or the Dolphins helped you yesterday. One of those.
Yeah,
because it landed on four.
Been a push. Yeah,
well, and you ended up winning.
Two of them out of the six teamer would have been.
We've been on a roll, you and I, the last 2 weeks. We gave our listeners another four plays on Friday's podcast. Hit three out of four. Unfortunately, the one loser, I had Syracuse plus 28. I think they lost 55-0.
It was 54, but who's counting? But, it didn't make any difference, 54 or 55.
But we also gave some outright underdog winners. You know, Navy plus 7 against Notre Dame was an outright winner. And then yesterday in the football, we had Oakland Raiders last night. Guys, this is getting exciting. We're going to be getting a good team here.
Did you get it as a pick'em?
No, I got it higher. I think I was laying a point or one and a half.
Last night I got it as a pick'em.
Yeah, so. I saw it come down. Obviously, there was some people out there betting Denver. Oakland is looking really good, guys. Sitting atop the AFC West at 7-2. They put up 30 points on a very good Denver defense. And this team is really starting to click, and Jack Del Rio has these guys believing that they can do it. And how about those Cowboys?
Yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
Unreal.
I had them.
We had the Cowboys, too. I mean, granted, they were playing Cleveland, who's 0-9, and I get it. But I'm telling you, this kid, Dak Prescott,
Cleveland really 0-9?
Yes.
Yes.
Not only did they lose the World Series, they don't have a single win in their football team.
That's okay. They can win the World Series next year. We needed it this year.
No, they can't. We're going to win again.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but the Raiders are looking great. Cowboys are looking great. And you and I were talking before the show. You can forget about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. They're done.
Unpredictable.
Done.
Completely unpredictable. Tonight, I like Buffalo. I like Buffalo Bills. I think Buffalo's been playing very well, and the Seahawks have not been playing all that well.
Rob and I were just talking about it. You know, Buffalo season has been a tale of two cities, Jekyll and Hyde. Win two, lose the first two, win four straight, lose the next two. So they're rolling in at 4-4 against a Seattle team that's really banged up. Russell Wilson's not healthy. He's got a bad ankle. He's got a bad pectoral problem, which is going to affect his throwing.
I hate when that happens.
You like when I say pectoral, don't you?
I've had a couple of bad pectoral problems.
And they're missing Cam Chancellor and Michael Bennett on defense. Your favorite player's coming back tonight on the Bills, Mr. Shady McCoy.
Shady McCoy.
He's going to help.
Would it be a good name for a mystery character? Shady McCoy.
He's going to help Tyrod Taylor.
Shady McCoy is the new detective series, ABC this fall.
In a world.
Also, their running back situation. I mean,
Seattle? Christine Michael.
Christine Michael. But the other guy is starting to take over now.
Whatever it is.
I just picked him up for my fantasy team, and I'm telling you, he's going to start taking over.
You won this week, didn't you?
I think I did.
I think I did, too. I think you and I are going to be tied for, like, fourth place in the league
fourth
right
place.
Now.
Well, as long as we make it to the playoffs, right? I've had a rough season. Look, it's all been about the Cubs for me. I've completely just
abandoned fantasy.
Well, football doesn't exist for me right now.
We didn't introduce Lissa mascot.
And the mascot, Riggins. Well, he's got his little shirt on.
Go Cubs.
This show has gone to the dogs.
We have gone to the dogs.
Literally.
I said that last week when I was emceeing the doggy costume contest. Where were you? Now, what's the dog's name?
This is Riggins.
After the running back,
look, my
John
dog,
Riggins.
You know, God bless her soul, she passed away a couple of years ago. She was named Cubby.
Yes.
But Lissa gets to name the dog after her favorite team, her favorite player, John Riggins from the Redskins.
John Riggins, Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, one
Redskins.
Of the top
Hall of Famer.
Redskins of all time.
Great running back, absolutely.
Hall of Famer, amazing. The Diesel.
Okay, a real
this
grinder.
This is about the Cubs now, so forget it. Stop the Redskins. You know,
thank you.
We know it's over for the Bears.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Totally over.
No,
it's
are
not.
You kidding
no,
me?
Wait.
Chicago Joe.
Wait. I was on a plane coming back Monday night. The gentleman next to me, and I told all my friends in Chicago, bet the Bears. I watched the game.
Against
the Vikings. They are getting a defensive presence on the defensive side of the ball. They're starting to come around. Watch and see what happens. And he just
and
came
also,
off the bye
week. Conference is very weak at this point.
I'll tell you what.
It's still Green, early in the season.
Green Bay,
yeah.
Green Bay shot.
Minnesota's lost three in a row now.
And you're going to trust Detroit? I'm not.
I tell you, Detroit's looking a lot better.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's over for them.
It's
yet.
Not over. 9-7 is going to win that division. 9-7.
We are not even going to get close to that. For crying out loud.
You don't know why? Why not?
As long as the Packers are out of it, I don't care.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
We're not going to win,
true.
And I want a high draft pick. We need a quarterback.
Well, Bill Cutler was on fire.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know, he's hot and cold like a.
A veal cutlet, like a cold veal cutlet sandwich. So what are we looking for this week? We've got tonight's game, Monday game, Thursday game, and then Sunday. You know, I read in the paper today, and I think the bookmakers had a bad weekend yesterday. I think this week was
which
probably the easiest.
Which means we're all going to lose this weekend.
Yeah, I think they're going to tighten it up. But they, you know, everybody had a chance to win on Sunday yesterday. So, you know, there was a lot of winners.
You know, typically when you talk to the guys in town that do all the stats for the books and track that kind of stuff, they'll tell you that on an average NFL season, the books will take a hit about 3 weekends out of the year, which means we're losing the other 13.
Exactly.
Are you surprised by that?
No.
I'm not.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no,
I always tell people Vegas doesn't have
betting goes.
Vegas never has trouble paying their bills or keeping
the
lights on.
I never bet. It's all fixed.
It's not fixed.
It's rigged.
It's rigged
is the word we like to use. It's rigged.
It's rigged, right?
It's riggers. It's rigging. It's rigging. Winning is all I can say. The one thing that the Cubs have taught us is that anybody can win.
That's it.
Hey.
That's it.
You know,
what a lovely day.
I did a charity event a few nights ago, and I said if the Cubs can win after 108 years, we can find a cure for this disease.
Good for you.
Good
for you.
Well, okay. That's a good lead-in for me. Nathan Edelson Hospice's 21st Annual Serenades of Life concert, Doctors in Concert, is going to be held November 12th, starring Leanne Womack, headlining the Southern Nevada Doctors to raise funds for world's largest nonprofit hospice. Nathan Edelson Hospice is a good place. I lost a friend a few years ago to bone cancer, and they just took great care of the guy. So if you want more information on that, go to Nathan Edelson Hospice. So it's also going to be hosted by our friend Brad Garrett. So that's our little community outreach right there. It's on November 12th. So check that out. And Mike Bryant hopefully will be giving us a call in. He got a little busy, as I'm not surprised. There was a story about Mike the other day. I know. Brian throws and bam, Cubs are champs.
Just like that.
How exciting was it? Joe, let's start with you. You were at Wrigley.
You know what? It was, I got down to Wrigley Field on that Friday at around 2:30, just soaking in the atmosphere of the ballpark and just walking around the neighborhood. We have a friend who has a hot dog stand, Clark's on hot dogs, so I went and had a couple dogs with him and just walking
Wieners.
Around.
Wieners.
Yes.
This is the morning of Game 7?
Yeah, no. This was the first game in Wrigley in 71 years.
In Chicago,
years.
Gotcha.
And so the ballpark opened at 4:30. Got in at 4:30, and I had met Joe Maddon down at Petco Park in San Diego. So the lady I needed to send a shout out, Sheila Dillon. She's a head of security for MLB. She got me my tickets for free.
Wow.
I went to the gala Thursday night, John, as I call you, would have loved this, Thursday yeah. night down at Navy Pier all the way at the end. So I'm out on the terrace.
Right.
This was great at the end. I met everybody. And so we're down there, and everybody goes out on the terrace. Fireworks are going off over Lake Michigan. They have Sinatra singing My Kind of Town in the Chicago, the best skyline in America in the background. It was unbelievable.
Like surreal.
It was.
Buildings were lit up.
Met everybody. Met Joe Maddon. So after you know, Kyle Hunter, we lost that night 1-0, but you know, I was still sitting there. So I went across the street. They had a party. This is how I know things are going. Everything is right in my life right now. I walk in the door. Tom Ricketts is standing there.
I said, the owner.
I said, hello, Tom. Joe Molinaro, blah, 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 blah. Thank you for everything.
I never knew your last name. I just know you're Chicago
call
Joe.
Call me Chicago Joe. Thank you for everything. We needed you. He goes, "What's your? Where are you from? I said, I live in Vegas. And he goes, okay, Joe from Vegas. Go up, belly up to the bar. Have a drink. We'll get him again tomorrow. I said, thank you. We'll see you next
wow.
week. And that's that. I met him. Met everybody. Rhino, Andre Dawson.
The Hawk.
It was the atmosphere and everything around it was spectacular.
Do you feel like you were 10 years old again?
You know what? Every day I feel like I'm 10 years old. But yes, I did. Because especially when I was standing out on the terrace, and you can appreciate this, all you gentlemen from Chicago, just taking you back to when you were a child and going to Wrigley, and now here I am, I'm out on the terrace, a World Series, it just, it's emotional. It's emotional. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
I called you that night, and you were sobbing, and I thought it was great.
When grown men cry. Hashtag when grown men cry.
Absolutely.
Now, you were Wrigley also, right? You and Lisa.
And I were at Game 5. Yeah.
Game five.
We were at game
highest
five.
Ticket average for any game in the last 40 years.
Yeah, I know. For me, you know, everybody who tunes into this, and you all guys know, I grew up five blocks from Wrigley Field. So
sure.
I spent as much time outside of Wrigley on those streets than I did in the park. And I was a fan when there were just kids in the ballpark. It wasn't cool to be a Cubs fan. It was. So when we got there, Lisa said, "Come on, let's go in." I said, "No. I need to walk around.
Exactly.
I need to look. I need to go to the stoops that I used to sit on and wait
and take
and listen to the game on the radio and like see what's going on here and stuff." And when you say takes you back to your childhood,
absolutely.
You know that effect in a movie where it goes, you see a close up on a person's face and then all of the background goes whoosh.
Yes.
I suddenly was transformed to being 8 years old with my baseball mitt on Waveland and on Sheffield.
That's awesome.
I was completely teared the entire time.
Absolutely.
Ready to just start bawling, but still so filled with joy. Then we went in the park, and it was like I looked at the Jumbotron, and it said the Cubs and the Cleveland Indians in the World Series. I looked at it, and I said, is this real?
Yep.
And then the game started, and then we won. And then the other amazing thing about it was after the game. It was the only game they won in Wrigley Field. You know, thank God we were there at that game.
I was going to say, that game five was so
pivotal. We walked outside, yes. And there were 20, 30,000 fans out there on the street, and it was a love fest. People giving high fives, hugging each other, singing, go, Cubs, go. And there were policemen anywhere.
Didn't matter. They
weren't necessary. It was just... It's as if we had just won the World Series on that one game.
Yes.
And then, you know, then it went on to become what it became with Game 7. And all the time I'm texting with Mike Bryant through all the games.
Oh, really?
Even at that game. It took us almost 45 minutes to get from right field to left field.
Did you see Mike right now?
So,
did you see Mike at the game?
I wanted to go see him, but it would have taken an hour to get to him.
Yeah.
You know, wherever we were sitting. It was just... These shirts we wore at the game, I haven't taken them off since then because I'm
afraid. I thought I smelled something.
The dream I might wake up from the dream.
No, is alive. We're gonna take a short break. We're gonna take a short break here. You're listening. Whoa, you're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on KBAD 920 AM. Stay right where you are.
Now this could only happen to a guy like me, and only happen in a town like this. So may I say to each of you most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss, this is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of people too. People who smile at you. And
we're back, John, with the Scott with Vegas Nonstop, coming from the studios of NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM KBAD. And joining us is the son of a legendary Cub, Jeff Santo, Ron Santo's son. Jeff, are you with us?
I'm here, yeah. How you doing, Jonathan?
That's great. Thanks so much for holding on for a minute. How are you doing?
Oh, I tell you, it's been something else. Still trying to digest it all. It's crazy. I just can't really believe it, you know? It's wonderful.
Well, for those of you that haven't seen the documentary, and Adrian just asked when the movie came out, I was there for the premiere with Coach Ditka and yeah. Joe Mantegna, who did the narration for the film. If you can, talk a little bit about documentary and about your dad and what winning the World Series means for you and your family.
Yeah, well, winning the World Series, I mean, it's really literally like a final farewell to my father, you know, and all the guys that, you know, put on a Cubs uniform and, you know, tried to get that World Series and loved the team, loved Chicago. You know, it runs deep. It goes way back. You know, my brother Ron Jr. and I, we grew up, you know, into baseball. You know, Wrigley Field is really like our backyard, our playground. You know, we go to the games with my dad in the summertime. And, you know, it's just, it means the world. And I did a documentary on my father in 2004. Well, really shot in 2002, 2003. Came out in 2004. And about his life, you know, being the first type 1 diabetic to play the game of baseball. And it was right when he lost his second leg and all the adversity that he was going through. And we flashed back into his career playing with the disease and the history of the Cubs and his life. And, you know, the three things that he really wanted, you know, was he wanted the main thing was to win the World Series. He didn't get it as a player, but he wanted to see it as a broadcaster. And that didn't happen for him, but he also wanted to, hoping he was getting into the Hall of Fame while he was alive, and that didn't happen, but it happened after. And, you know, the final one being hopefully a cure for the juvenile diabetes. But we got 2 out of 3 right now, so we're pretty happy about that.
Jeff, this is Adrian. I just want to say that I think your dad and Ernie had a lot to do with this thing happening somewhere up there in the skies there, convincing God to say, hey, come on.
I like that.
It's
time. I say, and the clouds parted and the gods rained down on Cleveland.
And that's what in Game 7, I kind of feel that's kind of what it was. It was divine intervention. They were up. They went up. And I could just feel that collective Cub energy, nation energy going, oh, my God, no, not again. And then all of a sudden, stop.
The clouds parted.
Clouds. And then
the rains came down.
It's like the tears of 108 years of fans came down.
And Cubs players.
And then it's like breathe. Everybody breathe. And it was, you know, it was like, we can do this.
Well, Jeffrey and I have been talking about hashtag when grown men cry. And, Jeff, that probably, I can't imagine that there was a dry eye in your household.
No. There are definitely a lot of tears. You know, I'm still really emotional from it, you know.
This is Chicago.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I you know, that Game 7, you're right, that rain delay. I think Ernie and my dad had something to do with that. And then they went in the 10th inning, you know, that's his number. And then Chris, you know, got the last out at third base. So a lot of meaning there for the Sano family.
This is Chicago Joe. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I wore number 10 and played third base for the Cicero Eagles because of your father. He was my baseball hero.
Wow.
And yeah, and until the coach figured out that I couldn't make the throw from third to first, then they moved me to second base. But and I also wrote a song, the Cubs Curse Buster song, and I dedicated it to your father. And I just want you to know that he was my baseball hero. And I'm getting emotional about it now, but he was the best. I loved everything about him as a man, as a person, as a player, everything about him. He was the best.
Oh, thanks, Chicago Joe. I'd love to hear that song. I probably have not. Please send it to me.
I'm going to send. In fact, we're going to be playing it here shortly, but I'm going to be sending it to you. And this is, you know, it's so great to be on this show with these wonderful people and to have this opportunity. I feel real blessed right now. And Adrian said it earlier, that I feel so much joy and happiness. Just joy and happiness.
Adrian's right. You know, it really is. It's just like, you know, we don't have to worry about people saying, you know, look at the Cubs. They'll never get there, you know. I felt that way when they got to the World Series. That was the big thing to me. You know, we finally broke through, you know, the seal and got there. And then once we're there, you know, we get to Game 7, you're like, well, now we can't lose. Now we're up, you know, 5 runs. It was like, now we have to win it because, as you know, it's so hard to even get there. And then to see the fight that happened through the whole postseason, I mean, the battles they had and the composure that these young guys had, I mean, these were the right guys. These were the guys that were supposed to win it. You know, you look back at the history and you go, wow. You look at this group and you go, these guys are together. You know, you got Joe Maddon, who's who's a lot like my father. He's optimistic, you know. My dad was always like, this is going to be the year. And it was just fitting, you know, the young guys and Chris Bryant at third and Rizzo. I mean, they really remind me of, you know, the guys my dad played with. They all loved each other, you know, back in my dad's days. And you could tell these guys are the same way. They're together, you know, and they're forever etched in stone, you know, in history now. I mean, no one's going to forget about these guys.
No, but there's still a piece of my soul that's left behind from 1969. Watching your dad click his heels as he's running down the third baseline and everything. No, those are memories, and the black cat going across and when, you know, and the Mets and everything. There's still, you know, this erases a lot of that, but it's still there, and there's a, it's heartwarming, and I'm so happy for you and for your family.
Well, thank you. I do think like 69 kind of represented that team that should have got there and didn't, you know, and so they were known for, like, being so close, and that's the time that they didn't have, you know, only two teams made the playoffs, and, you know, in each league, and so they were remembered for not getting there, you know, and the heartbreak that there are the Cubs, not anymore now, but same with 84, you know, in 2003, you remember those three teams, you know, and it's just wonderful to now know that they finally did it, and for everybody, for all the fans, for all the loved ones that aren't here to witness it, you know, like my father, we're here to witness it for them, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, but as you said, Jeff, I said earlier, it's not just for the Cubs fans, it's for the Cubs players. It's for 108 years of Cubs players, too. You know, mm-hmm. their hearts were in it as much as the fans were to win this whole thing. So it's, and one of the things that I want to say throughout the entire seven games is that so many friends of mine who are not baseball fans whatsoever, and I'm an entertainer, I'm in musical theater and stuff, and I've got gay guys calling up, lesbians calling up, and everything. I cannot tell you how many people got behind the Cubs because it wasn't just about the Cubs and baseball. It was about humanity. That's what this game meant.
Old, young,
everybody.
Doesn't
it was
matter.
About humanity.
Lesbians don't normally call you?
Oh, yeah, actually, they do. it was about humanity. It was about a collective. When you look on some of the YouTube things of grandmothers and great-grandfathers that are 89 years old, some of the video footage of them cheering when that final out happened.
I know. There's a couple of famous
ones.
They
almost
had
heart attacks.
Oh,
my
mom was the first one to comment.
It's what I'm saying. It's just, it's
how
just,
great is that?
It's so such a beautiful, amazing thing.
That's that.
We can all move on with our lives now.
That's that family thing. That
my brother.
It's true.
My brother put a when my father passed away, we buried him with a Cubs pin in his lapel. My brother brought the pennant yesterday, the World Series pennant, and a hat, and put it on his headstone. And I guarantee you, if you go through. In Chicago right now, they're everywhere.
And
everywhere.
A lot of the graves.
They're everywhere.
They're
everywhere.
Well, I've told this before that when my father passed, I asked my mother if I could put on the tombstone, husband, father, and Cubs fan, and she said, "Yeah, go ahead." And that's on my father's tombstone.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
I sold souvenirs in front of the fire station on Waveland when I was 10 years old. You know, I got pulled out every Cubs opening day by my father and grandfather. I thought it was a national holiday. You know, our friend Joe Montana, who narrated the great documentary that you did, you know, he's a huge fan. All of my friends, you know, were glued to the TV. The last couple of weeks really didn't exist socially, and I don't know if you know how hard it is to stay home in Las Vegas. But it's pretty difficult to stay home in Las Vegas and watch TV. Jeff, can people still find your documentary, This Old Cub, on Amazon or somewhere?
Yeah, now we actually, in August, we re-released it on all the video on demand platforms, so iTunes, Google Play, Vudu, Comcast, Xfinity, Amazon, you know, Sony Xbox, and we added 15 minutes to the ending, you know, my dad getting the call to the Hall of Fame and then his statue outside of Wrigley Field. So, yeah, now they can actually rent it, download it, where before you can only buy the DVD, so you can really access it quickly now, and it's great, and I love that other people now that maybe weren't Cub fans or Cub fans that didn't have a chance to get the DVD can now access it and watch his story. And it's almost like, you know, you want to put the last ending up there of, you know, Pat, you know, announcing that they won the World Series, you know?
Cubs win! Cubs win! Yeah, I mean, that was a very special night for me. I was with Coach Ditka, and at the time, my son Johnny was, I don't know, about 10 or 11 years old when it came out. And there was not a dry eye in the house when your father walked with two prosthetic legs from the back of the theater all the way to the front. I don't care who it was, the toughest guy in the world, Mike Ditka. Everybody was just on their feet, crying like babies, watching your dad come on up and be as humble as he was for his life and his achievement and his career as a Cub. So I thank you and your family for all that.
That was an amazing moment at the Historical Society. And him and Mike Ditka standing together, those two guys, wow, you know.
Well, we appreciate you, Jeff. Look forward to having you in the studio if you're ever in Las Vegas. We're going to encourage our viewers and our listeners to pick up This Old Cub by Jeff Santo. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. That was Jeff Santo, son of the great number 10, Ron Santo, third baseman. We're going to take another short break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on KBET 920 AM.
Chicago, Chicago has the best band around. You gotta love them, bet your bottom dollar they love the Cubs in Chicago. Chicago, that town where baseball passion can be found. That curse
and we're back, Jonathan Scott, Wrigley Field West. Joining us in our Cub Love Fest, we've got a couple of callers on the line. Please help me welcome star of Criminal Minds and eternal Cubs fan, Joe Mantegna, and batting coach and most valuable dad, Mike Bryant. Line one and two. Guys, are you with us?
I'm with you.
I'm in.
Joey, what's going on?
Man, I'm still flying. Every morning I wake up with tears in my eyes because of the Cubs.
Has it sunk in yet?
I'm sorry?
Has it sunk in yet?
It hasn't sunk in yet. I mean, it's sinking in more and more every day, but then as soon as I see a little something online, a little video somebody did, or a little, you know, even when I was watching this SNL skit Saturday night and those guys all of a sudden appeared, you know, all of a sudden I realize my vision is blurring because my tears in my eyes. I mean, anybody who saw that parade, or anybody who saw the 5 million people who showed up, they get it. You understand that it's something. Those of us from Chicago, my mother's 101 years old. She's finally, you know, gotten satisfaction. So, I can't even explain it. It's sinking in, and it's just one of the greatest feelings I've had in my life. Just great.
Mike Bryant, are you on the phone?
I am.
Congratulations, first of all, Mike Bryant, MVD, most valuable dad.
Yes.
Way to go, Mike. Congratulations.
Joe, have you ever met Mike Bryant?
You know, I have not. I haven't met Chris either, as far as that goes. I mean, I throw out the first pitch every year, and when I was there in June, I was able to see, Joe Madden. I went down the dugout. The players hadn't come out yet, and I met a couple of the players. I guess the guy who caught my pitch, But I certainly look forward to it. I mean, what a great team we've got this year. I mean, and of course, Chris is we've been following him since he was in the minors. So it finally happened. I mean, 2016, it all came together. You know, the planets aligned, and the Cubs are the world champions.
The clouds parted, and the gods rained down on Cleveland. Mike, can you share that moment and that last out with us?
I had never crossed my mind that he was going to Bill Buckner it or Leon Durham it in a million years. I mean, I was kind of hoping the ball was going to be it to him. And then when it was, I said, oh, my God, he's going to make the final out of the World Series. He's going to make the final assist. And I can tell you, in the family section, I remember when Rajay Davis hit that two-run homer off Chapman to tie it up, everybody just got quieted down, and I kind of raised my voice a little bit, and I said, hey, did you guys think this was going to be easy? And then, and everybody said, yeah. Yeah, we know that that hardest out to get is the last one, you know? So they got it together. That rain delay was a moment to gather their thoughts, and the intensity, there was 20,000 fans in Cleveland, and the intensity level was off the charts. You could just see it, everybody's hinging on every pitch. I had a blast. I went to every single game. I went October 6th and stayed from the first game on the 7th to the last, and then went on the parade, and that was ungodly. I had never seen anything like that in my life. And, I mean, it was like, you know, Madden hit it on the hit the nail on the head calling it Cubstock. You know, I made the comparison to Woodstock, and he goes up there and calls it Cubstock. And I thought it was interesting.
Mike,
was
Adrian here. You and I, we were texting during all seven games and all, you're keeping me up to date, but you called it. You said they're going to win it in seven games. You were the one who called it, for crying out loud. It's awesome. And, Joe, I think you're still on the line. I got to bring Mike over to your restaurant in Burbank over there to get to one of the Italian beefs.
I was going to ask, what was the scene like, Joe, at
unbelievable. Case? Unbelievable. You know, the Cubs had contacted me asking if I was interested, you know, in getting tickets for the series. And I said, you know what, my Criminal Minds schedule is going to be difficult anyway. But I said, no, I'm going to spend the series with our loyal fans at Taste Chicago, because here's this little restaurant in Burbank that my wife opened 13 years ago. For, and, you know, it's Chicago themed. It's all about Chicago, the food. I've got all the jerseys hanging up in the restaurant. You know, it's all about all the Chicago teams. So to spend the World Series there, every game with our basically displaced Chicago fans who live in California, it was phenomenal. And then that Wednesday night, it was off the charts. I mean, every TV network was there with a truck, where everybody was just, you know, a bated breath on every pitch, on every moment. And then when it finally happened, when Mike's son grabbed that ball and whipped it over to Rizzo, I mean, the place erupted. I mean, the walls shook. I mean, people were crying. There were, you know, it was just unbelievable. I'll never forget it. I mean, it was Wrigley Field West. I mean, as far as I was concerned, it was as close as we were going to get to being, you know, in Chicago outside the ballpark. And so it was just phenomenal. And I'm glad I got to spend it. You know, I said, you're going to have enough celebrities at the game in Cleveland and enough for the Chicago guys. I said, we need a little support here on the West Coast. And boy, we really had it.
Well, the food is great. I stopped on when they were still going for the division. Great Italian beef, great pizza, right on Hollywood Way, for those of you traveling on the West Coast. And we have a place here called Brando's, which is our little Chicago bar. And it was the same thing. People were pouring champagne on each other. It was like New Year's Eve and VD Day, or not VD Day.
Oh, yeah. I had a moment that was almost like Field of Dreams.
My wife and I are driving in tonight to L.A. We're going to probably stop by your place on Tuesday or Wednesday and have an Italian beef. Maybe we'll see you there.
Oh, great. Well, you got it. We got your deep dish. You got your Polish. You got your Vienna dogs. You got it all. So,
went with the jardiniere. You got to have a dip jardiniere. With the jardiniere.
Oh, yeah. We got the jardiniere. We even got the neon relish for your hot dog. You know, we got it all.
So, Mike, can you share something? Give us some conversation.
Yeah, we got back from Cleveland early in the morning. The Ricketts... They charted a 747, double-decker. It was the biggest party plane you ever seen in your life. It was just a monster plane. Everybody, it was unbelievable. All the families and the players on the plane. We land in Chicago, and they drive us right into a hangar and undercover. And all the workers were lined up like soldiers around the outside of the hangar. We got off the plane, they're clapping and crying. We got on 10 buses, and we're heading out of the airport, and there was a whole bunch of emergency vehicles, ambulances, fire trucks, cop cars. They were all lined up like they were, like, you know, parked on each side, and there was probably at least 50 vehicles, and then two huge hook and ladder trucks. And we, as soon as we approached them, the sirens started going on one at a time. And it was like, and the lights started flashing. You know, it's night. It was still dark. And we get under the hook and ladder trucks, and they unleash the spray, you know, that arch of water, and the buses go under. They soak the buses. I mean, we get under the highway, and we get a police escort. There was four police, state police vehicles, and half a dozen motorcycles. And everybody was was stopping on the freeway, and they're all hanging out the windows. And we get into Wrigleyville at, you know, really early in the morning. There's got to be, oh my God, there was 10,000 fans there greeting us. It was the outpouring of love and support. You know, I'm from Boston, and I'm a Red Sox guy. I played for the Red Sox back in the day, you know, so I'm there when Theo broke the curse in 04. You know, as a big fan, I was watching and seeing Victorino told me he hits over here at my cage with Chris in the winter. And he told me, he said, you know, the outpouring of love was amazing. He says, you'll be you'll be a demigod from this day forward. But this celebration dwarfed the one in Boston three times over. I mean, there were about 2.5 million people in Boston. This thing was almost, this was over 5 million people.
Did you know that the 5 million that attended that event is the seventh most attended event in the history of recorded
seventh
history?
Seventh largest gathering.
All of them before that and after that are religious gatherings.
Yeah, you've got like Gandhi and then the Cubs.
And then it's the Cubs.
This was a religious gathering.
Joe, you heard Joe said? You can hear it in your headset. Joe said, what makes you think this isn't a religious gathering?
Can I share this one thing with Mike? I want to share this with Mike because he brought up the thing about Boston, and this is the honest to God truth. The Chicago Tribune, in fact, wrote an article about it on Thursday, the next day, because they interviewed me about my experience, at that final game. And I said, this is the truth. I was watching the game in the one of the news trucks that was in our parking lot because the restaurant was so jammed. I said, I needed to be by myself because it was like the rain delay had happened, and I was getting nervous. You know, I was going through that whole thing of like, oh, my God, is this going to be that? Is this going to make a bad turn here? And this guy walks up to the news truck with his son, and they're both wearing Boston Red Sox T-shirts. And it was a guy who lived in a neighborhood and his son. And they come up to me and they say, Mr. Montaigne, I just want to let you know, we're Red Sox fans. And when I heard about your restaurant and what was going on, we live in the neighborhood, we had to come over here to be part of this. He says, trust me. The Cubs are going to do it. I feel it. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen for you like it happened for us. And he sat there, and he stood next to me by the truck, and because I wanted to be kind of by myself. And as each pitch happened, as they resumed play, he talked me through it. He was saying, "Don't worry. This is going to happen. Well, this guy's going to get. Don't worry about it." It was almost like some spirit, Ernie Banks and Ron Santo's spirit, had sent this Red Sox fan. Kind of like a guardian angel to walk me through this last inning. And he stood there with me until we got those runs and until Chris made that last out. And then we both started screaming, and I was hugging him, and I thanked him for being there, and I ran into the restaurant, and then he and his son kind of went off into the sunset. And it was
The spirit of Ted Williams coming out and visiting you, Joe.
You know,
who knows?
I was unbelievable. So I'll be ever for grateful for that, thinking, wow, so, you know, it took a Red Sox fan to kind of give me that last bit of courage and get me through those final tough moments.
Joe, Mike and I are both from Boston. This is Jeffrey with a G, and I've spoken to Mike about this because we obviously remember 2004 being alone watching the game, crying like babies when they finally won because it was so emotional. And I can't be happier for all my Cubs friends and you guys finally got off the schneid.
Well, we've been talking about, you know, hashtag when grown men cry.
Yep.
And people, you know, were writing on Wrigley with the chalk and remembering their dads and their grandparents and their uncles and all their family members. You know, it really was as close to a religious experience. And Jeffrey was laughing because I wanted to watch each game by myself also.
I was going to say, I loved how Joe pointed out you have to watch it by yourself. I remember in 2004 when we were down 3-0 to the Yankees, I couldn't watch another game with my friends. I was in New York.
Right.
I had to
be
by myself. I was standing in my apartment and crying by myself.
And you know what was great? Because I was in the news truck, they were getting it live, the feed, where the television was getting a 10-second delay. So you got to imagine the restaurant is about 25 yards away from where I'm in the truck, and the place is jammed with people watching the game. I'm watching it by myself with my wife and kids kind of standing behind me, and I'm looking at the truck feed. And so when that last out was made, I start screaming. But it's dead silence. And then 10 seconds later, I hear the eruption coming from the restaurant as the feed finally hit the dam. And it was like experiencing something fantastic, you know, twice, 10 seconds apart, you know. It was just incredible.
So, Mike, you've seen Reverse the Curse and Crush the Curse. Does Theo go right to the Hall of Fame?
I think it's got to be a no-brainer. But I saw Theo the next day before, or 2 days later, before the parade, and he's walking down the hallway where everybody's down in the clubhouse, right? And he's coming in, and do the big hug. And I said, Theo, I said, we got to start thinking dynasty right now, dude.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, you know what often happens, right? You finally get it out of your system. You've changed the culture of learning how to win, and look what Boston did.
Yeah. Well, now we have the nucleus, and Theo's got all the chess pieces lined up. He's got the ages of the people, the ability levels. He knows he's on the trading block. He's going to be making all the tough decisions that he has to, and to keep the team competitive. And I think they've got a taste of this now, and they're young, and they're going to want more. I mean, when the expectations, they're changed. Baseball's changed forever on the north side of Chicago because, the expectations that they're going to have of themselves are going to supersede any of their fans. So, believe me, they're going to bring it to every game. And, I was talking to John Mailey, the hitting guy, hitting instructor the other day, and I said, the level of concentration these guys bring, Rajay Davis goes up there, it's a two-run home, and then it's a single, two innings later, why can't they play like that in April and in July? And he says they can. And can you imagine if you play with that intensity level for the entire year, how it would prepare you for success in the postseason? That's kind of what happened this year, because the Cubs were playing that way throughout the entire season. That's why they won 103 games. I thought they were going to win 120. Tell you the truth, when they hit that run there, and they were just got crazy to like 46-7 or something. And I said, man, this team's going to win 120 games. That's what they really
Adrian here. You got to be. I mean, the proudest dad on the face of the earth with Chris. He sparked, and I kept on texting you. Chris started it all. He started when we were down 3-1. He got it started in both of those games where we needed a jump start of some sort.
Yeah.
And it was his home runs that got everybody going. You got to be the proudest dad in the world right now.
He hit 3 huge home runs in the playoffs this year, and one that tied the game, and the Giants in San Francisco. And then he tied the game again in game 5. And then in game 6, he put us ahead in his first at bat and against Tomlin. And I gave him a big scouting report on Tomlin. I mean, look, these guys, Chris was, I'm telling you, Chris, they did not throw, they threw a fastball to him about 32% of the time. Everything was sliders, cutters, changeups, curveballs. They didn't throw him anything. And I said, you're going to have to hit one of those pitches out of the park, and then you'll get your cookie. And he did. He hit, he got that Trevor
Bauer
threw him a two-seamer.
Yeah.
He ripped it, and then the next day Tomlin hung him a curveball, and he destroyed that. And he says, he forced them to throw pitches in the zone.
Right. That's he also lit Rizzo's
fuse. It took him a few games, but you can't. He's a second-year major leaguer. For him to be able to work veteran pitchers like that, that's a gift, and it has to be nurtured. You can't just say go up and do it. You have to nurture that. You get to be feeding the brain information on how to form that approach. Really, I'm really proud of him because he hit like a 15-year veteran. My feelings are, hey, man, what are we going to do this? Let's get this going. What are we going to do for next year to get better? And I already told him that. Dad, just calm down, he says. I said, well, we're going to get started on this.
is Joe, Joe, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I listened to all of it. Great.
I got two little bits for you. The Apocryphals and Neil Cerdelli.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, there you go.
I used to live 2 doors down from you. I've always wanted to meet you, and I used to come and listen to your band practice in your garage.
Oh, my God. That's taking me way back. Yeah.
Park Home. Absolutely.
Yes,
so it's a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm going to stop in and see you in Burbank.
Definitely. And you know what you should order now? We added to the menu. We ordered ziti with a scoop of goat cheese. We call it the Cub Special, and we charge $1.08 for that. 1 penny for every year, so
That 108
Penny
number.
With goat cheese.
108 number keeps coming back. Well, what are the chances? Are you able to somehow wind the Cubs into a Criminal Minds script, you and Danny?
You know what? I am gonna make a thing. I have already talked to one of the writers. I sent him an email, and we're gonna get together this week. There is gonna be an episode that is gonna acknowledge what's happened with the Cubs, because we actually set up my character. Unfortunately, you know, what's funny is that they made Shamar Moore's character back in, you know, when he was on the show, that he was from Chicago and that he was a Cub fan. So to have my character come in and do that seemed a little weird, even though, of course, they knew I was. But if anybody saw scenes that take place in my office, I have all this Cub paraphernalia in my office as David Rossi. And the reason we were able to acknowledge it is that we had an episode about two seasons ago that happened on the day after Halloween, the All Souls Day. And in the episode, I explained that I have these two opening night Cub tickets to honor this guy that I served with in Vietnam, that the Cubs were his favorite team, and that I have these two tickets that I presented, you know, on All Souls Day in honor of this guy. So we've established that I have this connection with the Cubs. So, no, I'm going to work into some episode this season. I'll let you know when it happens.
Hey, there we go.
I'm going to use that plot to somehow do something to honor what happened with the Cubs. So you'll see a W flying somewhere.
Cubs win. Well, yeah. Joe, I appreciate your time as always. Criminal Minds, Wednesday, 9 p.m. on CBS. CBS, right? CBS.
Right.
CBS. And Mike, we would love to have you back here in the studio. I know you're swamped. Appreciate your time as well. And thank your boy for saving the series for us. Third base brings it in. I want to thank Jeff Santo for calling in. I want to thank our guest, Chicago Joe.
As always,
thanks, you guys. Jeffrey with a G. As always, thank you. Adrian Zemed is going to be appearing in Europe in Kaja Fo. Did I say it right?
Kaja Fo. British tour with Kaja Fo.
January 1st. Anybody going to London or Paris? London, right?
All of England.
Rob Sherwood opening for Carrot Top this week at the Luxor. Lissa, Mr. and Mrs. Smith at Carnival Court. Riggins, good night, everybody. I want to thank everybody. Send us those emails and requests. We'll see you on Monday. Tune in. Eat well. Party hard. Jonathan Scott at Jonathan Scott LB. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Go Cubs. Tell me why I don't like